Good morning here, Neil, with the Alternate Radio Show and my series Who's Who in Santa Cruz with my good friend, my dear friend, Mr. Don Kinderman, who is a senior, retired senior, what?
Deputy Harbor Master.
Deputy Harbor Master. How many years did you spend there at the harbor?
Decades.
You loved every minute of it?
Decades. All that stress with all those bosses out there, but now life is good.
Yeah. When did you arrive in Santa Cruz? Where were you from and so forth? Where were you born?
I was born and raised here in town. Grew up down in La Selva Beach, along the beaches there.
You surf down there?
That's where I picked up surfing. My dad wanted me to play football and sports, and probably the worst thing in his eyes was the first day I picked up a surfboard at 8 years old, and it was over from there. You know?
Yeah.
Like most of us in this county.
Yeah, for sure. And school?
School, Aptos Cabrillo, went away down south to Orange Coast College, and had a phone call from the O'Neill family that they asked if I would be interested in going to Australia at the age of 20 to help market their wetsuits for the first time in Sydney, Australia. So with that phone call,
yeah,
I'm like to the O'Neill family, give me roughly about 5 seconds to think about the offer. I'm in, all the way. So off to Sydney I went. I lived in Australia for 10 years.
Did they know
years.
You wanted to be a wetsuit salesperson?
They had no idea. I didn't even have an idea that I wanted to be the wetsuit salesperson.
But you got that phone call.
But when the phone call came in and being a surfer and thinking about living in Sydney, Australia.
How was that?
It was fantastic.
Did you have a blast?
Now.
How many years were you there?
I was there 10 years.
Oh, really?
About 2 years with O'Neill's, and then I jumped ship and I went to work for Speedo Swimwear.
Yeah.
No comment, Neil.
No, not making
no comment, Neil, on the Speedos.
But I haven't seen you in a Speedo, but, which I just thank you very much for that.
Yeah, we'll keep it that way. Speedo is actually in a Speedo.
Are there photos of you in a Speedo somewhere?
Hey, you never know. What can I say?
They could be somewhere.
Exactly.
They're locked up.
Now, for those that don't know, Speedo is actually an Australian company. Everybody thinks Speedo is an American company.
Okay.
I worked for the owners of the company way back then. So then, 10 years later, fast forward, came back to Santa Cruz, and was trying to think what I wanted to do.
Why'd you come back?
Well, I was ready to get back to watch a good old American baseball, football, have coffee.
And you're still, to this day, you're still Pittsburgh Pirates. And Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
412 area code.
Okay.
Love the sports in the 412 area
code.
Okay. All
right.
What can I tell you?
So you came back here. Then what happened?
Came back here and decided I was going to get into law enforcement. Applied with Watsonville, the sheriffs, the harbor. Went to backgrounds in all three agencies. Back then we used one shrink that was over in San Jose. And
did you make it past him?
Yeah. I was sort of thinking, just how's he gonna, mark me on all these three agencies?
Right.
But he gave me flying colors. He turned off his tape and he said, "Can I talk to you, off the cuff?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Just getting to know you and yada yada yada, and, you're traveling, you're a surfer. Really, do you want to work for like Watsonville PD or the sheriff's office?
Right.
Like, I think the harbor is a great fit being on the water."
Yeah.
Took his advice, went to work for the harbor, and worked there for 3 decades. Worked on the water out here. This was my job. This was my job every day.
Who trained you for the job? Because you don't just give the keys to a boat. Who trained you for your
career? Good question, Neil. Who trained me was a good friend of yours,
okay.
Larry White.
Larry
White, the harbor master at the time.
Yeah.
Big ocean guy.
Sweetheart guy.
Yeah, surfer, sailor.
Yeah.
All the above. So you do have to go through training. And then once I got my training wheels off, then I was training the rest of the new staff coming in.
Yeah.
Great career.
The harbor is its own entity here in Santa Cruz. Police bites its own police force. Right?
It is.
It's its own little city within the city.
By all means, that is a great way to describe it, Neil. It's basically a special district, which is like a city within a city.
Yeah.
The harbor has its own law enforcement agency, their own deputies, their California police officers, just like any other peace officer we see in the county, the sheriffs, the police, Capitola Police, etc. Although, instead of working in squad cars, we're working in police boats.
Yeah.
A lot more fun.
Yeah.
You see a lot more glamour out there, too.
Do you have a rescue that you come, do you have a rescue in your 3 decades that kind of sticks in your mind that was like, holy shit?
I do. I have a son that is actually born from one of those rescues.
How'd that, can you tell me about that?
And this was dating back about 20, see my son's 21, so it's dating back 23 years ago. It was in the summertime on a Labor Day weekend, extremely windy day. Winds blowing from 30 to 40 miles an hour. Not even the big sailboats were on the water. It was way too gusty. At about 7 at night, right in the, around sunset time, a couple of women knocked on my door and basically said, one, her husband, and the other one's fiance, left the beach at the harbor on a Hobie Cat at 3 o'clock and they haven't returned. Right away,
holy smoke, yeah.
We knew they had to be upside down somewhere. Called multiple of agencies to get involved with the search, Coast Guard, ourselves, fire department. Started a search at about 7:45 at night. Search stole away till 1 in the morning. The winds had finally lightened up a little bit, so we could access our boats on the water. At about 1 a.m., coming empty-handed, doing grid searches throughout the bay, Coast Guard decided to call off the rescue until morning, until light. Coast Guard, when you have multiple of agencies, Coast Guard takes control of all the agencies. So that was
in the ocean.
Right. So that was their call. Let's stop the rescue. Let's revisit it at sunlight. Well, we agreed, although being on the water, being watermen ourselves, growing up in this area, we know if there were two people on a Hobie Cat and they were upside down and the water's out here, they're not going to survive.
No.
They're not going to survive through the night. And so we told Coast Guard, and I had to relay to my boss, that we're going to do our own thing on our boat. Well, revisiting our search pattern, I have to give Professor Gary Griggs some credit here. Gary Griggs did a study, and he did a study on surface drifts and bottom current drifts on the water. And you would think, normally, from point A, if the wind's going this way, your search pattern's going to start from here,
go
and you're going to move that way.
Right.
Professor Griggs' report showed that you could get a different drift pattern, even though the winds were going one way, you could get a drift going the complete opposite way.
Yeah.
By sun, moon, the navigational pull.
Yeah.
So we took his research and we decided to do a completely different search pattern and course. And we went on that. It was about 2 in the morning. We got about 8 miles out. Pitch black, no moon. Wind had finally dropped down to about 0 knots. And all of a sudden we heard a faint scream for help, which we thought we heard after searching for 8 hours.
You've searched that long, you're imagining that you heard it.
You're hearing things.
Right.
You know, there's birds fluttering along the water.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden we opened the windows, I turned the motors off to the boat. Listen, and all of a sudden, sure enough, it's a scream for help.
Yeah.
We get on the radio with Coast Guard, we tell Coast Guard that we're going to head over to this area. We got confirmation of yells for help.
Yeah.
They get a helicopter up in the air, they start flying to our area. We take the boat in the dark, and it's about 60 feet from where we heard the scream from help. Find one victim in the water, and he's just in a spring suit and a life jacket.
Fuck.
And
just one guy. What happened to the other one?
No boat, just one guy floating in the water. We drag him into our boat. He's on his back, and he's going into shock. And as his eyes start to roll back, he looks at me and my partner on the boat, and he says, "Save my brother." And then he passes out. So now we have to make a decision. Do we wait for the helicopter to airlift him off the boat, or do we rush him in at high speed, take the chance of, one, hitting something on the way in, possibly hitting his brother, leaving the search pattern area where we found him. We make the decision to rush him into the harbor. We rush him in. They have paramedics waiting at the harbor, put him on the gurney. They rush him off to the hospital. We go back out, my partner and I, Kerry Smith, Deputy Smith from Pillar Point. He's up there now. We make a decision to go out and find his brother. We go back to the original spot where we found the first victim. Set our radar for a half mile.
You're gonna think he's gonna be dead. He's dead.
That's what we're thinking. Right. But we're not giving up. We're not giving up. We set the radar for a half mile, and all of a sudden we get a little blimp. We're not sure if anything's out there. We look again, another hit on the radar. Take the boat to that location. We find a Hobie Cat upside down with his brother, who had taken the shroud lines and self-tied himself to the boat. So as he went into shock, he wouldn't slip away and go into the water and drown.
Yeah.
Long story short, both brothers lived.
Wow.
A week later, they came into our office.
Yeah.
We did a debrief. The first victim we found was physically, mentally. He had a lot of issues going on. Although, when both brothers got through with the debrief and got ready to leave, the first victim that we found, he gave me and my partner this card. And on this card, he was getting married in a week. And he said, "You have to be at our wedding. You have to be at our wedding." So I said, "Okay, we'll be there. We'll be there." So we show up to this wedding. It's in Los Gatos. Both brothers are in Texas. It was a big to-do wedding, 100 people plus. And the bride, the groom's the victim we first found. As they get ready to do the wedding toast, everybody's got their champagne out in the crowd. And the groom looks at his bride and says, "I can't give you this toast on your wedding day. I have to give this toast to the guys in the back that saved our lives."
Wow.
I mean, it was, everybody was shocked. The claps came in, the toast finally came for everybody.
Yeah.
And a great wedding.
Yeah.
Now let's back up. We talked about, I had a son that was related
that part,
to it. Yeah. So
then
we're gonna get to that part. So.
You meet a girl.
The kind of guys like Neil and I are here. Of course, I meet the maid of honor at the wedding.
Yeah.
And the guy we rescued, his brother, we're at every family barbecue now, every weekend. So the maid of honor.
And you're a hero.
She's there. And I'm a hero.
You're James Bond.
Yeah, I'm trying to be Bond, you know. And now, boom. We get hooked up, baby later, rest is history.
Mr. Kinnaman, thank you for the interview today.
Thank you.
What a great story. We're going to cherish that. It's going to be in, everyone's going to have fun listening to that. Thanks, Don.
Ciao.